Well, good evening once again. We're thankful for you being here, and we're thankful for our visitors. And we want to thank Jeremy Clark for being here with us tonight. Come back as often as you can and visit with us. We appreciate you being here. And tonight we're going to be in Psalms chapter 37. We're going to be in some familiar territory. And I want to just clarify one thing. I'm going to probably say it at the end of the message. I'm not trying tonight to make anybody doubt what I'm trying to get us to consider, something that we're going to be looking at tonight. After all, we're in prayer meeting tonight, right? So we're going to be looking at, tonight we're going to be looking at prayer. And the question tonight is, God listening when we pray? It's a difficult one to swallow sometimes. And I'm going to pose some questions to you that are consideration for yourself only. It's not for you to be considering your neighbor or your wife or anything like that, or your brother or sister. It's for you to be considering your walk with God before him. Okay, so let's look at Psalm chapter 37, verses 23 through 25. And here the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this opportunity to open up the Word of God. Father, I pray now as we are here tonight that we would forget about the things that are going on outside these walls, that we'd clear our minds of all those things that are taking place. Father, that we would be attuned to you for the next 35 or 40 minutes to hear from you. Father, help us in this area of prayer, and we pray that you would be honored and glorified, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at steps. You know, everyone's always looking for steps. How do I get to the next step in my life? And here we're talking about the steps of a good man. And many of us would like to think that we're good men or good women. But the word step there means companionship. It also means to march or stride or to pace. And some of you know that I run trails, and sometimes if I run with somebody that doesn't pace the same way as I do, I end up falling. It's happened to me numerous times. I've been following someone that's not as fast as I am, and I'll get too close to them, and I'll lose track of where I'm at. But in order to walk with God, we must be in step with him, in pace or in stride with him. And tonight I want to look at a step that I'm afraid we are talking about, but we're failing to understand the delicacy of how that step can be interrupted. And if I were to ask you how or what step should I take to learn or grow in Christ, many of us would say, well, you need to read your Bible. And I would say amen to that. You need to pray every day, and you will what? Grow, grow, grow. We hear those things. We need to study or memorize or meditate upon the Word of God. And sometimes we need to study and we need to dig a little bit deeper what God's Word says. But tonight I would like to explore prayer. And after all, we're in prayer meeting. We all would say we need to pray. But we also need to be in the Word. Amen? And the Word of God is God's instruction manual to us. I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 23. I'm afraid that many of us shun instruction. Now, we get instructed from the pulpit, but we fail to apply instruction with our friends and our fellow believers. But here in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says, "He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, let's turn there for a moment. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy." This is supposed to be God's instruction manual to man and to the believer. But many shun instruction, authority, and they have many problems inwardly and outwardly because of it, yet fail to see it because they want their own way and not God's way. And tonight we're going to be looking at prayer. And I ask you, how is your prayer life? And I ask more importantly, how is my prayer life? That's the better question. I should be asking how my prayer life is. Some may say, what prayer life? Others may say, well, I pray for the church, the needs of the church. I'm praying for the services. I pray for my pastor, etc., etc. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for that. So scriptures support corporate prayer of the church body, and we should be involved in that aspect of prayer. But I have a question for you. Maybe in the military, what's the first thing the enemy will do? They will cut off the lines of what? Communication, right? So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I think many Christians go through life thinking that this is not a war. And the scriptures are very clear that it is a war. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Turn with me to Timothy 1, 18. Paul talking to this young man, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So we're in a war. And if you don't recognize that you're in a war, you're going to end up being the casualty of that. And the first thing our enemy will do is he's going to cut off the valuable lines of communication. And in Psalm chapter 66, verse 18, being in church here for over 30 years and being under the tutelage of Pastor Alquist, I have learned some things, I think. I hope I have. Standing here tonight and being in this pulpit with him sitting in the back is very humbling. The latitude and the instruction that he has given me over the years and for me standing on this pulpit are beyond words. I can't even imagine. I never imagined this day. I was a kid that wasn't supposed to turn out. But in Psalm chapter 66, verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what not? He will not hear me, right? Do we believe the Bible? We want all the yays and we want all the blessings, but do we believe this? If I'm regarding iniquity, the Lord's not hearing me. Prayer is a powerful thing. It is also a delicate thing. And it's a neglected thing. Not only corporately, but personally. And I'm afraid that we are often concerned about the corporate prayer, and we should be, and don't misconstrue what I say, we should be concerned about our private prayer before we're concerned about the corporate prayer. Because the corporate prayer is not going to go anywhere if you don't have your private prayer in place. I'm afraid we're often concerned about the corporate prayer, but we're regarding iniquity. There's aught between the brethren. There's strife and contentions in the church body. And God will not hear. That's what Psalms chapter 66, verse 18 says. He will not hear. Turn with me to Isaiah 59 for a moment. This is a hard passage of scripture for me to read at times in my life. But Isaiah 59, verse 2. Let's look at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. So Lord's going to hear. He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The sin has separated. If you look through this whole scripture here, 1 through 10, we're not going to read all of them, but he talks about, for your hands are defiled with blood in verse 3. and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue have muttered perverseness. He says, none call for justice. So what's the remedy? It's in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I've had many people tell me when I've had trouble with a brother or sister in Christ to follow these verses, and then watch them turn right around and not follow the same verses. This is not easy to do, what we're about to read. This is very difficult, but it is instruction from the Word of God. In chapter 5, verse 23 through 24, it says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, what's it say? Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. The word reconciled there means to renew friendship with one. We're supposed to gain our brother. We're supposed to gain him back. But we go on with life and we push down those feelings and we never take care of things. So opening line is communication. God is concerned about our horizontal relationship. You understand that? He's very concerned about that. In Luke chapter 18, tells us how much we should pray. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So we're always supposed to be praying. But we also need to have the lines of communication open at all times. Where should we pray? In 1 Timothy says that men ought to pray everywhere. It's being in constant communication with God and with the Holy Spirit. It's saying, Lord, what would you have me do, say, or think? Yes, think in this situation. Philippians 4:8, many of us know that. It tells us things that we should think upon. And I think that would clear up a lot of our anxiety issues and things of that nature if we would think on the right things. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This communication is called instant communication. He's only a prayer away. Amen? I know people that will pray for hours and hours, read for hours and hours. What about the moment to moment? When the offense comes. When your anger flares, what do you do then? Prayer goes right out the window. How about prayer before the phone call? How about prayer before you call your creditor? You ever think of that? Sometimes that helps. And it keeps you nice and calm. You ask questions the right way, and sometimes, voila, you get what you need. You knock some money off, maybe. Maybe you had a late fee or something on your credit card. Call up, hey, this was going on. Oh, well, yeah, we'll take that $35 late fee off for you, sir. How about prayer before you speak? Or better yet, before you respond to somebody. In the heat of the moment. When strength is needed to allow the fruit of the Spirit to come forth, but our strength is kind of waning. The sensitivity to the still small voice that whispers. Listen to Mark. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 39, just for a moment. Says Jesus, he says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Sometimes we try to do it all on our own. Isaiah 30. I'm going to very familiar verses. As soon as I read these, you're going to know them. chapter 30 of Isaiah, verse 21, says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and turn to the left." I think we're so busy today that we don't hear the still small voice. We got so much noise going on around us. Listen, true communication with God in prayer will reveal to the one praying the plague of his own heart, not others first. 1 Kings bears this out. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 38. He said, "What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spreadeth forth his hand towards this house." It needs to be, "It's me, Lord, standing in need of prayer." I'll give you an example. Now, Pastor Alquist will remember, Pastor Alquist is probably the only one that knows of this story. But when we first came to church here, we had a family that took us under their wing. My wife and I were a mess. A literal mess. And I remember the first 6 months of our marriage, we just about split up. We were done. And I kept telling this man, he kept inviting us over for dinner. I'm like, "Man, this guy's weird. Just inviting us over all the time." And I just could not get by it. Every time we went home from church, we get in a knockdown, drag out fight. Every time. We're gonna go over. He had five kids. And I remember this last time we fought, that it was her mom coming to pick her up. She took her to her house, and I started over 38th Street. Go to my mommy and tell her all about all the stuff that's going wrong in my marriage. But the Lord said, "You gave that man your word that you're going to go out there." So I walk up to the door, go out to McCain, and I go out to the door, and I knock on the door. They live in a trailer, and their oldest daughter comes to the door, and she goes, I says, "Is your dad here?" She says, "Yeah." And I burst into tears, and she's like, "Daddy?" That man had me come in and sat me down. And I've been saved since I was 9 years old. I was way away from God. At that time, we didn't have cell phones, so he calls my wife's parents. And he said, "I need you to come out to my house." She said, "I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him at all." He says, "Well, too late. My wife's on the way. She'll be there soon." So his poor wife went to pick my wife up, that's spitting mad. And they brought us out to the house. And he sat us down. And he says, "We are going to pray." I says, "That's fine. You can pray all you want." And she's over there, had her hands folded. "We're not praying." So sure enough, he started praying. And then he got quiet. And it got really awkward. So I began to pray. And you know what happened? The Lord softened my heart. And then went to my wife, and she wasn't going to pray, and then she prayed and softened her heart. And we ended up going to Bible study with them for 5 or 6 years and helped us through some things. And then he turned me over to my pastor, and he helped me through some things. But prayer. You need to be humbly praying. It revealed the plague of my own heart. In Luke chapter 18, we were there, but the Pharisee, talked about the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee prayed with himself. If you look here in 1 Kings, in chapter 8 of verse 39, it says, "Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men. And the purpose is in verse 40, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou givest unto their fathers." Knowing verses 38 and 39 should cause us to fear. Famous verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Let's turn there for a moment. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. It says that they need to humble themselves, be in subjection. And I'm inclined to think that this is not a corporate prayer. This is talking about the individual, because he's talking to Solomon. But he's talking about the people as well. Each individual in their tents, in our homes. And he talks about seeking my face, searching out, and then turning. That's our part. And he says, then. Now, I've defined the word then for us. Sometimes these words, we don't define these, but the word then means at that time, afterward, or soon after, or immediately. But it's on God's timetable. He says, will I, that God, will hear, forgive, and heal. And it's not before we do our part. It's an article that I have here that I run the Reforms Unanimous program. And there's a book called Tall Law. And one of the parts of the title is, Why Trying Harder Isn't Enough. Avis, the rental car company, says, we try harder. In the natural world in which we live, trying harder is commendable as well as effective. However, in the spiritual realm, trying harder is actually lamentable. And he goes on to say, stop trying harder. Trying harder will defeat the Christian every time in due time. I vividly remember talking to a person who disagreed with me on the above point. Pastor later told me that this individual seemed to disagree quite often. In fact, he would use such an opportunity to vent his anger. This obviously was a Christian with using fleshly techniques when trying to convince others of his beliefs. Next, there was a lady who seemed to be a devout, active in church, followed all the rules, even a leader in the church, yet she too was questioning the activity referred to as the flesh. The man with the negative patterns is obvious. But we are prone to assume that the woman with the positive patterns has actions that are derived from the Spirit. Yet the Bible reminds us people can do marvelous works apart from the vital union with Christ. Our flesh can be defined as our body, mind, and will, and emotions under the influence of anything other than Christ. The flesh can also be defined as a personal techniques for meeting our own perceived needs apart from Christ. This does not mean that the action has to be defiant towards God. Walking out to the flesh is simply relying on your own abilities instead of the resources of God. Do not think of the flesh as something that you naturally find repulsive. It may be very attractive and even look spiritual. I think a good synonym for the word flesh is self-sufficiency. We somehow think that we must have the ability so God can use them to bless others and glorify himself. This is not true. The flesh will often connect itself to our talents, appearances, education, wealth, upbringing, and countless other things. This is how we begin to depend on ourselves rather than depend on God. We learn to rely on flesh to get us through or ahead in life. Your abilities can be liabilities. Therefore, my abilities often become liabilities. I have personally run bus routes, preached persuasive sermons, provided for my family, pacified bad behavior, patriotically participated as a citizen, and many other countless things in the flesh. Though I have a long way to go, I am learning God's purpose in my life is to bring me to a place where I totally rest in Him and His sufficiency. Understanding the flesh and what it looks like has brought me closer to this goal that God has for me, and now I know that we try harder should be replaced with He never fails. And he says, make war. Learn to identify, recognize, and fight three enemies. Nothing will rob you more of this life than self-sufficiency. It is deceptive and wrong. The Christian life is not about becoming a better me. Anytime I place myself in the equation as a part of the solution, I am displacing Christ. This is the battle that the flesh often wins, and we as Christians don't even recognize it. Remember, it's not me, it's He. And this is what I've seen over the years, even within our own church walls. Well, I'll try harder. I'll pray harder. I'll church harder. I'll serve harder. I'll build relationships harder. I'll forgive harder. All the time getting more frustrated. I may not need to pray more. I may need to obey more. What I already know in the scriptures. Like we said in Isaiah, sin hath separated us from our God. God does not hear because we have sin operating and occupying our lives, and it is, and its effect is, has affected the work of God individually and corporately. Our sin affects our prayer life and the forward progress of the church's effectiveness by us regarding iniquities in our heart. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Sometimes I think that the Holy Spirit prompts us on things, and this verse comes to mind, because I'm guilty of this too. Okay, God specifically tells me to do something, or specifically brings up an attitude that I'm regarding in my heart, and I don't take care of it. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you." You need to be careful. But we say, oh, I'm blessed. Well, the next question I want to propose to you is, who truly is answering your prayers, especially if I'm not living righteously? Could it be that Satan is answering your prayers that we think or credit the Lord for? Give me a little latitude here. Satan was going to grant Jesus things in the process of tempting him, wasn't he? I think he's an angel of light. He can manifest himself an angel of light. Our hearts are desperately wicked. Only God knows our heart. Not being in communication, true communication will reveal the plague of our own heart. We must humble ourselves. In James chapter 4, James chapter 4, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Whose sight is it in? Help me. In the Lord's sight. I don't need to humble myself before Pastor Alquist. I need to humble myself before the Lord. Right? If I'm humble before the Lord, I'll be humble before my pastor and before other leaders. But verse 6 says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Sometimes us trying harder is just our pride getting in the way. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word righteous there means observing divine laws. Like leaving your gifts at the altar and going and making things right with your brother. I'm a man of like passions. It's difficult to go to somebody that has offended you and try to make things right. It's difficult. You don't know how they're going to respond. That's not the important part. It's the important part is that you obeyed what the scripture said. We must do our part if we expect God to do his part. And I ask you, are you expecting God to do his part and you're not doing yours? What will that teach us? If God just hands everything to us. I'm not saying we have to work for our salvation. I'm just saying, what is that going to teach us? What's that teach our children if we just hand everything to them? Makes a bunch of spoiled brats. When a child comes humbly and confesses, what does that do to a parent's heart? It softens it. God is our Father, and he loves us, and he wants what's best for us. There's one prayer that God has obligated himself to hear, and that is the prayer of the sinner. The Bible says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That prayer is one that he's obligated. But he has not obligated himself to hear our prayers, as it says in Psalm chapter 66, if we're regarding iniquity in our hearts. Friend, if we're not in our Bibles and steadily applying what we read, allowing the Word of God to penetrate the heart, how can we, my dear friends, say we know God is answering? Especially when we either have known sin or have suppressed our feelings and bitterness and then harshly applying God's word in our situations. Like I said, I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt, but I am trying to get us to consider our ways and our doings and our goings. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 to 32, I want us to be more introspection on this, looking at ourselves. Chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it how? Considered it well. We consider a lot of things, but we don't actually consider it well. And I looked upon it. What does it say next? I received instruction. Please consider with me where we are in our prayer life tonight. Consider your vineyard. Consider where your prayer life has been. Consider your relationships with one another. I've dealt with people for a while, and sometimes I swear that they like turmoil in their life. It's like it gives them something to think upon. One thing I do not like a household that is full of turmoil. I like a quiet household. And I think God does too. And I think if we would humbly consider where our prayer life is and get our private prayer life where it needs to be, that the corporate prayer life would have much more effectiveness. Let's bow for a word of prayer. If I've ever had bowed and never had closed, maybe you're here tonight or you're listening on the live stream or on the radio. We appreciate you being there. This is our time to do some business with the Lord. Maybe here, and I do not want a show of hands tonight for some of the questions I'm going to ask, but we are going to open up the altar. But maybe say, I know I have aught with my brother, and I need courage to go and make things right with them. Maybe your prayer life has been more of a reciting rather than actual communication with him. And you talk to him like you're a robot. I was dealing with a man at one time, and I actually stopped him from praying, and I asked him who he was talking to, and asked him if he talked to me. You need to remember, we're communicating with the person of Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit. God is a person. I know he's a spirit, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're in communication. You need to treat it as such. Maybe you don't know Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. But give me an opportunity to come and get that taken care of. We can take just a few minutes to show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Like I said earlier, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Father, we thank you for the evening. We thank you for this night. Father, we thank you for the vehicle of prayer. Father, I pray that you help us to consider our prayer life. Consider our communication with you. Consider our relationships with one another and how that can affect that delicate thread of prayer. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the honor and glory you just deserve. Father, help us tonight. Help us in our prayer life. Help us to get the things right that we need to so we can have that line of communication open and just not shut off. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.